This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Thank you for joining us today and for following Working Like Dogs on Instagram and Facebook. We're your hosts. My name is Marcy Davis and my co-host is my amazing service dog, Lovey. And we're excited to be with you today to talk about our favorite subject, working dogs and working animals. And today we're welcoming two guests to the show. We have Karen Shirk, the founder of Four Paws for Ability, that's based in Ohio. And we also have Erica Flato, the proud parent of Austin, who is partnered with a Four Paws for Ability seizure alert dog named Paris. And several of our listeners have contacted me and asked me to please do a show on seizure dogs. So we are so thrilled to have Karen and Erica with us today to talk about their work at Four Paws and how Paris has impacted Austin's life. So come right back after these quick messages as we welcome Karen Shirk and Erica Flato to the show.
Moose is the German Shepherd and hasn't had any kind of health problems at all. He has been on Dynavite since he's a puppy.
DINOVITE.com.
We tell anybody that has a dog, if there was something that you could do right from the beginning so that you don't have expensive veterinary bills, why would you not do it? Get the Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Get some Dynavite. How happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. We're so excited to have Karen Shirk and Erica Flato with us today from Four Paws for Ability. Hey, Karen and Erica, and welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, we're so excited you guys could be with us. And we have so much to talk about today. But first of all, let's start, Karen, with you. And tell our listeners a little bit about Four Paws for Ability. What inspired you to create this organization? And what's your mission?
So, thank you for asking. Four Paws for Ability is an agency that trains and places service dogs with disabled individuals. Our focus is on children and veterans. And I founded Four Paws 22 years ago after my own struggle to get a service dog ended in nothing because I was ventilator dependent and people thought that I was too disabled to be able to rejoin the community using a service dog. And so they refused to even allow me to be on their waiting list. And after one agency, I guess, wasn't clear that I was ventilator dependent, put me on their waiting list. I waited 18 months. And when they had a dog for me and sent a trainer to my home to interview me, realized that I was vent dependent and quickly sent me a denial letter. Because of that, I wondered about how many people needed service dogs and weren't able to get them. And that is how Four Paws for Ability was founded. I myself use a service dog and now I'm on my third service dog.
That's so awesome, Karen. And you just shared with us something that so many people encounter. And I know when people reach out to me and they have the kinds of experiences that you just described of being on a ventilator or something else that is really challenging, how people so quickly assume that you can't have an assistance dog because of that. And I'm just so impressed and inspired by you, Karen, for leading the way and showing that it is possible and creating this amazing organization that serves people no matter what their needs are. And that must be so hard, though, in trying to work with folks that you don't want to tell anybody no. I know I get calls all the time, people saying, I want a dog, I want a dog. How do you deal with that, Karen, to really discern if someone can and if it's appropriate for them to have an assistance dog? That must be so challenging.
It's very challenging. We don't say no to a lot of people. We do have things that we specialize in, and we do tend to stay in those areas and refer people on if they, so for instance, we work primarily with children. 98% of our placements are with children. So we refer people like adults who need seizure alert dogs to other organizations because no one organization can do everything. But we do get a lot of issues where people may not be financially able to have a service dog because that's a consideration to take.
Yes.
Not supported. And if somebody is living paycheck to paycheck, we may talk with them about waiting to a more appropriate time because of or to provide to us how they're going to care for that dog, given that they don't have the finances to do so appropriately. In addition, I think because we have a fee for service, and while nobody has to have money to get a service dog from us, they do have to be able to fundraise. And I do think that that helps us in kind of weeding out people who aren't in a place in their life where they could learn and handle a service dog. Because if they don't have the time or the ability to figure out fundraising, they probably would not be able to have the time and effort to put into a service dog. Whereas if they are very adept at adapting to that fundraising and learning and have the time and resources to put into it, they're probably going to also do well with a service dog. So that kind of helps us with that, with us without us having to make that what I call God decision, like who gets
a dog. Yes. Yes. Oh, those are wonderful points, Karen. Yes. I could not agree with you more. And I know our listeners have heard me say it so many times, but it's true. It is such a huge commitment, both financially and time-wise, because as I have always said, it's like you're getting this incredible Olympic athlete that you're now responsible for, that you have to make sure has the best food, the best medical care, the best everything because of what they're able to do. So thank you for pointing all of that out. And I also love that you guys serve children, because that's another group that I've heard so many agencies say, we don't serve children under a certain age, or, you know, we only serve adults. So what is the youngest child that you will place a dog with?
So we do not have a minimum age requirement for our dogs. I mean, the families can apply. Their child might be 3 months old if they're diagnosed already with epilepsy, or perhaps they have Down syndrome or some disability that's very obvious from birth. They can apply at that time because it's most likely that they'll be able to utilize a service dog with that child. And early intervention is definitely key in helping with things like a child with disabilities, confidence level, in acting as a social bridge as they get older. It is about a 2.5 year process. So probably the youngest child that we've ever placed a dog with has been at least 2.
And what all are your dogs, do you train them to do, Karen? What are some of their main tasks that they can perform for the children?
Okay, so we train seizure alert dogs, and those dogs may do other things as well, because a lot of these kiddos have other issues besides just seizures. We train dogs for children with autism and similar disabilities that present in the same way as autism. We train mobility dogs, dogs that help them with, even if they're very young, can help the parent open a door so they don't have to leave their child's wheelchair to get the door open, or retrieve things for the parents and then move that to the child as they get old enough to use the mobility skills themselves. We place diabetic alert dogs, hearing ear dogs. We do place dogs in facilities like children's hospital or schools that have MH classrooms to utilize the service dog in their classroom with the children that they serve there. Oh, I know I'm leaving something out. And of course, place dogs with veterans who have a variety of disabilities.
Fabulous, Karen. It's wonderful. Well, Erica, tell us how you heard about Four Paws and why you wanted to get one of their dogs for your son, Austin.
Sure. I actually, much like Karen, was looking into a service dog for my son, and we got denied by different organizations for multiple reasons, whether he was too young or we weren't in a close physical distance to the facility. But at the time that we were searching, 4Paws was the only organization that not only trained seizure alert dogs for children, but also didn't deny based on geographical location, because we're located in Massachusetts. So we're about a 12, 13 hour drive from 4Paws, but they accepted us anyway. So that was how we landed there.
Yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful, because as you just described, so many people get those denial letters, which is just so heartbreaking when you have this hope and dream of getting this one of these incredible dogs. Tell us, what does Paris do for Austin?
So Paris is actually a multi-purpose service dog. So her main task is that seizure alert. Austin has epilepsy. But his epilepsy is caused by two significant brain malformations. So he's also got an intellectual disability and speech delay. And he gets frustrated quite a bit when there's a communication breakdown and his verbal speech is not being interpreted correctly. So Paris also assists with some behavior disruption that comes from that. And at the time we received Paris, he was only 7 years old. We also had her trained for search and rescue because we weren't sure if elopement would be a risk as he aged. Fortunately, you know, it has not been, but she's also trained to find him if he were to elope as well.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, tell us, Erica, what kind of training did you and Austin and any of your other family members receive when you met Paris?
Yeah, so when we met Paris, she was fully trained and we basically had to be trained on how to use her. So we went to 4Paws. The class was 10 days every single day, you know, almost a full work day if you could compare it that way. But we learned a lot about kind of the science behind her training and why she was trained to do things the way that she was trained to do things. And then myself, I learned how to be her handler because at the time, Austin was too young and not cognitively aware enough to be able to do it himself. So 4Paws really trained us on everything, not only how to use her, but also how to feed her, you know, how to choose, you know, the appropriate food and treats for her, as well as how to choose the appropriate toys, the appropriate grooming essentials, literally the whole nine yards, as if I had not been a dog person. You know, they really start from the ground up and preparing their families on what it's like to have a service dog.
That's amazing. Yeah. And it is such an education. I was that way too, Erica, when I got my first service dog way back in the day. And it is. It's a whole new world that you enter into, this dog world where you have to learn about all those things that you just listed, which is so important and critical. Well, I have to ask you, Karen, how did you decide to start working with seizure alert dogs? I know you do all the mobility and some of those other things, but what was it that drew you to seizure alert abilities?
So because we went to children almost immediately after being founded, because that was such a marginalized group in the service dog community, we, of course, had families coming to us for seizure dogs. And because of my own experience with a medical alert dog who alerts to myasthenia gravis exacerbations, I knew that, and because I was familiar with someone that used a diabetic alert dog, I knew that it was possible for dogs to alert ahead of time. We also knew, of course, that there was research out there showing that some dogs innately were alerting their owners to seizures. About 10% of all dogs were doing that innately. And so we looked at the possibility of the fact that they would be alerting to scent based on diabetic alert, and based on the behavior of my own dog and how she alerted me. So we decided to try and see with our families if we could actually get a higher percentage than 10% by collecting scent and training with that. And of course, it did work. And we have about an 85 to 90% success rate with our first placements that actually do seizure alert either right away or within the first 6 months. But have yet to figure out why some of the dogs, the other 10 to 15%, do not transfer alerting to the scent that we use to alerting to an actual seizure.
That's so fantastic.
But with
90%,
then it's pretty clear that you can train it.
Well, hold that thought, Karen, because we're going to take just a quick break and hear some important messages from our sponsor. But I definitely want to continue talking about this and your experiences with seizure alert dogs. So come right back after these quick messages.
For those fortunate to have experienced the deep bond and unconditional love of a companion animal, the death that follows can be one of the most difficult and misunderstood losses to go through. Many times, this devastating loss goes unrecognized and trivialized by family and friends, leaving grieving pet parents struggling to find healthy ways to cope with the loss. In And I Love You Still, a thoughtful guide and remembrance journal for healing the loss of a pet, Dr. Julianne Corbin calls attention to the difficulties unique to the loss of a beloved pet and provides an interactive and compassionate guide to help you process your loss and work towards coming to a place of peace and healing. For those interested in journal therapy and looking for a professionally written and compassionate resource to help understand and reconcile the grief associated with the loss of your pet, this book is for you. And I Love You Still, a thoughtful guide and remembrance journal by Julianne Corbin, is now available for purchase on Amazon and other major book retailers.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio, and we're visiting today with Karen Shirk from Four Paws for Ability and Erica Flato about her son's amazing dog, Paris. And before the break, we were talking about the seizure alert dogs and the way that you work with them, Karen. And I do want to continue that conversation and ask you, Karen, so does Four Paws, do you breed your own dogs, or how do you find your seizure alert dogs?
We do. We started our own breeding program about 15 years ago because it's very important that you are able to use a dog who has the healthiest background possible. And we screen all of our breeding dogs for every genetic condition that there is a test for, in addition to doing physical tests of their heart and eyes and hips and elbows and knees and all of those things to assure that we're breeding the healthiest dogs possible for the job. In addition, we need to start the dogs from birth to make sure that they're prepared to be a service dog and don't have negative experiences which would lead them to have behaviors that would be unacceptable as a service dog. So it became very clear to us early on the need to have great breeding dogs who we keep those dogs who would have been the super service dogs for our breeding program.
Yes, the super duper heroes, yes, are the amazing dogs that are used in the breeding programs. That's so cool. Well, we were thrilled to have Academy Award-winning producer Glenn Zipper on the show, where he talked about the fabulous Netflix documentary that you guys were the focus of for one of the episodes. So tell us, Karen, how did you get involved with Glenn and that documentary, and what was that experience like for you and for Four Paws?
That was absolutely an amazing experience. Netflix actually approached us and asked if we would be willing to be on their documentary series. And they did such a phenomenal job of actually showing the importance of this type of service dog, how important it really is, and how important especially it is that we're able to provide these dogs to children and why.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Oh, it was my favorite episode. I love that whole series. But your episode was just amazing about the young 11-year-old young girl, preteen, who experienced the traumatic seizures. And, you know, that was hard to watch. It really was, you know, seeing her struggle, but seeing that whole experience and how they went to your facility and had that 10-day experience that Erica was talking about, that was so powerful. But to capture that on film, I thought they did an amazing job, Karen. It was just terrific.
Oh, we were thrilled with the outcome.
I'm sure. What kind of impact has that had for you? I can only imagine your phone's been ringing off the hook.
Yeah, so immediately after the show, we noticed a huge increase in donations, which is always a blessing, but also how more people, even neurologists and doctors who may have been critical and not sure about the validity of seizure alert dogs, were able to see that. And we were able to use it in our marketing with them because we do a lot of seizure type conferences. So when we would get a doctor that was attending the conference who would say, well, I heard it can't be trained, you know, we can refer them to that Netflix
doctor. Yeah, that beautiful piece that you now have. What a marketing piece for you. Yes, it's wonderful. Yeah. Well, Erica, tell us, what advice would you have for parents who might be thinking about getting a dog for their child who experiences seizures or who has autism or other things similar to your son?
I guess my only advice would be to jump in feet first. You know, it can be scary to see sort of the fundraising commitment, and, you know, it seems really large at first, but the reward of a service dog and, you know, independence for your child is so, so worth the time invested and the work invested. And there's just really no negative aspect, you know, where we received such a wonderful gift from Four Paws, and my son is able to live a much more independent life because of his dog and the help that she's given him.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, and so Paris has been with your family for what now, 6 years? Is that right?
Yeah. We just celebrated our 6 year anniversary a couple of weeks ago with her. Yep.
Yeah. And Karen, what is the work life expectation for Paris? What are you thinking?
The average working life for a large breed dog like Paris is 8 to 10 years. Of course, there are some that don't make it to that working life for reasons the same as people, maybe cancer or something like that. And there are dogs that work longer than that, but that's what I would consider the average working life for a large breed dog.
Yeah, that's certainly, that's been my experience as well over the years. Yeah, it goes by so fast. It just is like a little blink of the eye. And Erica, tell us, what do you think is the greatest gift that Paris has been to Austin and the biggest change you've seen in Austin?
Oh, gosh, that's a twofold question. So from my perspective, she has allowed for him to, and dare I say this out loud, but get to a place of seizure control. When we first were fundraising and placed with Paris, Austin was having one major seizure event a month, maybe two. But once we got her, she was alerting all the time. So we had additional testing done and found out that he actually was having subclinical seizure activity nearly 24/7. So without Paris's strong nose and diligence, we may have never known that, but we've been able to adjust his diet. He's on a specialized medical diet now for epilepsy. We've actually been able to come off some of his seizure medications because of the success with that diet. And then we've got her as kind of our first line of defense. You know, if something's not working, she's going to know before the rest of us. From my perspective, it's the medical necessity that she's provided. But from Austin's perspective, she's really his best friend, you know, his confidant. And, you know, at any rough day or rough patch, she's, again, that first line of defense. And she steps right in and solves, you know, any significant or insignificant problem that you may be having.
That's pretty fantastic. I mean, that's really impacted all areas of his life and your life as well. Yeah. Oh, I just love it so much. It's just, it's, you know, when you say it's a gift, that just doesn't do it justice. It's just amazing of how much the ripple effect of all the different aspects of your life, Austin's life, that are impacted in such a positive way. So Karen, tell us a little bit more about how do they go about applying for one of your dogs, and what's the process and the wait time?
So the first step is to visit our website, www.fourpawsforability.org. And under the apply drop-down screen, click on the applications and then find the child application and apply. The timeline for approval varies. It depends on how fast they get all the supporting documents in. And then they have a phone interview and final acceptance. Fundraising can take a family one day or 6 months or, you know, just variety of time. So the placement time frame is about a little over two years from the time that fundraising is completed. So that timeline is going to look different from family to family, depending on how long their fundraising took.
Yeah, I remember that peace of mind. And I was very lucky. I was the one phone call and was super lucky when I had to do my fundraising. But I hear what you're saying. That's not always the case. I was very fortunate. But yeah, that can be work. So tell us a little bit about your veterans program, Karen, and how that differs from the children's program.
So until we took on the veterans program, we were exclusively working with children. And since then, I say exclusively children, but we also work with adult children who, for all intents and purposes, were still under legal guardianships and not really functioning as an independent adult. With the veterans program, I actually saw a documentary on TV showing the veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan and the great sacrifices they made to their own independence in fighting for ours. And we decided to add that as a program. This program is funded by the federal government, which is amazing. So our veterans don't have to do any type of fundraising in order to apply. And we pretty much work with any types of disabilities those veterans might have, as long as they fit in our ability. So for instance, a veteran who was blind would be referred to a guide dog agency because they specialize in that and we do not.
Which makes perfect sense. Yeah. No, but that's a big difference going from exclusively serving children to adding a veterans program. Yeah, that's a big difference because they do have such different, but maybe they don't. Maybe there's a lot of similarities there, but that's so awesome. And that the federal government is paying for that as they should. That's wonderful. So I'm so glad to hear that they don't have to do any of the fundraising aspects and they can immediately get a dog. So how many dogs does Four Paws for Ability place a year?
We place around 120 dogs a year with children and veterans, and since we've added the veterans, a few adult programs as well.
That's great. That's a lot of dogs, Karen. Yeah, you guys really have grown.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I'm just so thrilled to hear about all this incredible work. And Erica, how lucky are you to have Austin and Paris in your life, the dynamic duo that you have in your family, and how they work together and are going through life together. That's so incredible.
Yeah, I thank my lucky stars every single day, that's for sure.
I can understand why. Well, tell us, Karen, I know our time is almost up, but tell us, how can our listeners get more information about Four Paws for Ability?
The absolute best way to get information on Four Paws for Ability is on our very informative website, which again is www.4pawsforability.org. And anything that they couldn't find on that website, they can email us directly from that website to ask any questions they have.
Perfect. Well, we will make sure that we have that website on our website so that our listeners can get access to that and get more information, because it sounds like you really are fulfilling a need that there's not a lot of in the United States, which are service dogs specifically for children, which is just so phenomenal, Karen. Thank you so much for your leadership. And Erica, thank you for being willing to jump in with both feet. I love moms like that are willing to take those risks that may seem a little scary, but boy, the benefits can just pay off and pay off and pay off some more, which is what it sounds like you're experiencing. So I'm so happy for you and your family.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And thank you, our listeners, for being with us today. We love that you're with us. And you know how much I love getting your emails and hearing your thoughts about show ideas or questions or comments that you have. So please keep those coming. And my email address is Marcie, M-A-R-C-I-E, at PetLifeRadio.com. And we love seeing your photos and connecting with you on Instagram and Facebook. So please keep those coming as well. And we look forward to you being with us again soon. So take good care.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.